Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth joined in studio this evening by the illustrious Chase McCabe of Darren Donick and Chase. Weekdays 10 to 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can also hear some of his work on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Chaser, you're back from vacation.
I am. Good to be here. Thanks
good to
for
see
having
you.
Me. Good to be seen. Beats the alternative. So happy to be here and talking a little hockey.
Yeah. Well, there has been a lot going on in the world of hockey, more than your typical second week of July. First of all, this is the first time that we've had Preds Insiders since the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. So congrats to Tampa Bay for winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. They had their parade, their boat parade in celebration today. It's good to be Nikita Kucherov right now.
Yeah, he's living his best life. It's funny. I saw, I guess it was last week when I was on vacation on Twitter, somebody put out a stat that since Tom Brady, you look at Tom Brady and his sports life, like even going back to Michigan, like the number of championships when he was at Michigan that the Red Wings won, then the Wolverines, and then he goes to New England, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Patriots obviously winning, and now in Tampa Bay, like where Tom Brady goes, championships follow. It doesn't matter the sport.
Well, that's why they now call it Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but congrats to them. I mean, you know, I think there was a group of Preds fans, and you know, I can put myself in this category, that will always have a soft spot and respect for Shea Weber and wanted to see Montreal make it a series. But I think, you know, your brain told you Tampa's just that damn good, and was on track to go back to back, and they did just that. And it was really cool watching them be able to celebrate with their fans.
Yeah.
Like they didn't get to do last year.
Right. And not only with their fans on a moment like today, but actually winning the cup on home ice in game five. So that I know was very important to that Lightning roster and that Lightning locker room to get the job done in game five. And they were able to do so. So congrats to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who the Preds will be hosting in the Stadium Series next February. So the Preds will be hosting the defending champs in the Stadium Series at Nissan Stadium on February 26, 2022. I know that news came out a couple weeks ago, but I think the fact that it's now the defending champs coming into town in February, I think that adds a little bit more sizzle to that game here locally.
Yeah, and it'll be cool to see that matchup too, because I know we've talked about this, and a lot of other people feel this way, but I'm going to kind of miss this Central Division that the Predators were in this year. You know, it was the one-off for COVID to make things make more of a sense geographically, but having Tampa in the division, Carolina, Detroit back there, Columbus as well, it was fun to have that kind of that more of an Eastern kind of Central Division for the Predators. So you can I'm not calling it a rivalry. You know how I feel about that. That one playoff series or after 1 year, it's not a rivalry. But
so you're saying the Preds and Canes aren't rivals?
No, they're not.
They just played in the playoffs, They are rivals.
I know. They're just one playoff series, and it's a rivalry. Yeah, but it'll still be cool, especially now that they are two-time Stanley Cup champion or back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, three overall.
Well, the rest of the schedule is probably going to be coming out in the next 10 to 14 days.
I know. It feels that's like it should be soon.
Well, yeah. Well, it's typically around the time of the draft and awards and all that. Well, the awards have already happened. So the expansion draft and round one of the NHL draft is next week. So it's going to be next week when they release it. You mentioned how it's going to go back to normal. There's still something in the back of my mind saying Canada is not open yet.
Yeah.
They had to make an exception for Vegas and Tampa to make trips across the border and back. And who knows how COVID's going to go up there. So while the schedule that's going to come out is going to look normal, who knows if that's going to be the final edition of the schedule that we see before October.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, do you, if you're the NHL, do you do a full 82-game schedule, but do you keep the divisions as they were this year, add Seattle to the mix, which, you know, you got to maybe move some pieces around, but do you do it that way? Because then if you have to adjust, it's easier to adjust because you still have the geographical things going on.
Or front load the Canadian teams' schedules with Canadian teams.
Yeah.
And yeah, the American teams, like the Preds, can then play East Coast, Central Division, Pacific Division games all in America. Yep. And you have all the Canadian teams basically playing each other for the first however long in the schedule, buying yourself time for Canada to open up. So this, I think the schedule's coming out in the next couple of weeks, but who knows if that's going to be the last edition.
Do you think that we're going to see I guess if everything goes back to normal, so Seattle joins the West and then Arizona moves into the Central and all that happens.
Yep.
Do you think we will see the element of the schedule of, okay, the Predators have three games or two games on the schedule against San Jose out in San Jose. They make one trip.
1,000%. They absolutely should do that.
I would totally be fine with that.
If they're only making one or two trips to California instead of two or three within the season because they're able to piggyback a Saturday, Sunday against L.A., against the Kings.
Right.
Or Wednesday, Friday, Saturday against the Sharks in the Bay Area. If that means the Sharks don't play a game in Nashville, but they knock out their three games against the Sharks that way.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
I still think you could do it, and we're way down a rabbit hole here.
We did not plan on this.
But I think you could still do it where, like, because again, you're adding another team, so things will even out a little bit more than they have before. That you could do, for instance, two out there, knock those out, two here, one here, whatever. I still think it's a good model to have every team play everybody once. You have everybody in the building at least one time.
I think the best example of this is Winnipeg. Just, you spend a week in Winnipeg. Go
have fun with that.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You're speaking from experience. Go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in Winnipeg in November. And then in March, Winnipeg comes here for two games.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be fine.
That way you're only making one trip to that godforsaken city of Winnipeg.
Listen, it's a lovely city, lovely people. There's just nothing to do.
And it looks like it's straight from the 1980s.
I came from a road trip to Denver against Colorado that series. Like, holy cow, there's breweries and so much to do here.
There's a baseball team.
There's a baseball team, a football team, basketball team. Then Winnipeg, I'm like, where are the Blue Bombers? Like,
just twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah, there's.
By the way,
steakhouse. That's it.
By the way, now that the 2021 season is over, the 2022 Stanley Cup odds have come out.
Oh,
have you taken a gander?
I have not.
So Twin Spires,
okay,
my official sports book,
proud sponsor of the Moneyline,
that the two of us host Fridays 6 p.m.
Allegedly.
We haven't. That's true. We've only hosted like two shows together in the last 2 months. They have the Preds at 50-1.
Okay. That's
long shot.
That feels right, though.
You know who else is at 50-1?
Seattle?
Seattle.
Really?
According to Twin Spires, they have the same odds of winning the Stanley Cup as an expansion.
They don't even have a roster yet. Like, how do you?
You don't even know who's on the team.
That's funny, though. Let's see. Favorite, Colorado.
Colorado is 5-1.
And then probably Tampa.
Vegas is 6-1. Then Tampa, 7-1.
Interesting. Okay.
I kind of like the odds of Tampa at 7-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I would.
They're going to keep most of that team together. They will lose pieces, for sure. Valuable depth pieces.
Well, they finagled the cap, you know, to. Because Kucherov was on, you know, long-term IR for.
They're $5 million over going into the offseason. They're going to lose a player to Seattle. I would think that Tampa will work out some sort of trade for them to take Tyler Johnson.
Yeah.
And then you
probably won't bring Savard back.
Savard's not coming back. Coleman and Barkley Gaudreau are both unrestricted. I imagine they want to bring at least one of them back because of how valuable they were. But
yeah,
at that point, you're having to give up Andre Palat or Alex Killorn or somebody else. So they are going to lose pieces, but the main core is going to remain together, and they have some good young pieces that we didn't see all that much of in this postseason. Ross Colton, who scored the game winner in Game 7, he was kind of a no-name through the playoffs. He's going to have a bigger role next year. Matthew Joseph.
They're
going to be right there. Built. Whether they win it or not, they're going to be in the mix for a three-peat.
It's what's funny is when I was watching that celebration and they brought him up on NBC, you know, Steve Yzerman, who's now the GM in Detroit, and I get it. You know, he wanted to go back to Detroit where he was the captain for so long, but he deserves credit for
he built
Tampa.
Most of it.
Yeah.
He built most of that team. He left in 2018, and basically that entire core was together.
Sure.
Around that time.
And you sit there, if you're him, you sit there and you should feel proud because, like, hey, you did that. You helped put most of that together, but at the same time, you look at your hands and, don't have anything to show for it. But,
exactly.
Thought that was interesting. So.
The expansion draft deadline for protection lists across the NHL is Saturday afternoon, this coming Saturday, with the expansion draft Wednesday night. And I want to do a little exercise.
I need to do that. Yeah, it's good.
I think the two of us need to do that. I'm just speaking for myself. I know I need to do that because COVID has done a number on me. Anyway, I think the two of us would both agree that the route that the Preds are going to go for the expansion draft protection list is 8 skaters, 1 goalie.
Yes.
If there were 4 protectable defensemen on this roster, I could see them trading one and then going 7 forwards, 3D, 1 goalie. But they have 5 defensemen to protect.
Yes.
So it's going to be 8 skaters, 1 goalie. I would be shocked if it's not.
Yeah, let's just knock that out. So Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Fabro, Carrier.
Correct.
Yep.
Juuse Saros, the goalie.
Yep.
So that leaves 3 forwards to protect.
Okay.
Philip Forsberg.
Yep.
You have to think Luke Cunningham is on there with the way he finished last season.
He's absolutely on there.
The trajectory he's on.
The Victor Arvidsson trade makes that part easier.
Correct.
Because now you don't have to worry about that.
The final forward, I think, is going to be Colton Sissons. I think it's going to come down to Sissons or Yarncroke. And I think David Poile is going to go with Sissons for the reasons why he picked Yarncroke 4 years ago.
The contract.
He signed longer, just like Yarncroke was signed longer than James Neal.
He signed longer. It's very, very cheap from the team's point of view. So I agree. But you can certainly make an argument for Yarncroke because of, you know, him being the Swedish Army knife, as we like to joke. You can make I've been meaning to ask you this. So Trenin is eligible, correct?
Yes.
So you can make an argument for Trenin, even though you have a very small sample size.
Would you rather have Trenin or Sissons?
I'd rather have Sissons because of the same. It's the same reason that you liked Yarncroke 4 years ago.
Correct.
Because he is a versatile player. He can, you know, he spent a lot of time this year on the quote unquote fourth line, the herd line. But he can play second line if you need him to. He can play third line. I mean, he can move up and down. He can play center. He can play wing. He's a very versatile guy and good locker room guy, too. So I tend to think it's going to be Sissons. David Poile told us on Darren Donovan Chase 2 weeks ago after the Arvidsson trade that in a perfect world, he would like to be able to make a deal with Seattle to know who he's going to lose going into the expansion draft, and so you can plan accordingly.
And now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Poile would be making that trade before Saturday. So anyone listening to this thinking that if there's no news before Saturday that a trade hasn't happened between the Preds and Seattle, that doesn't mean nothing can happen between then and Wednesday for David Poile to, say, wink, 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 nudge, nudge to Ron sure. Francis, I'll give you this and this to take Matt Duchene. Or right. Ryan Johansson, or if there's another player that David Poile is thinking of in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I know some people have said Ellis maybe. if you trade Ryan Ellis, which at this point, just about anything is on the table as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think that trading Ryan Ellis would mean you got to get something big back.
He has
There's too much value.
Yeah, he has way more value than Johansson, or definitely more than Matt Duchene.
So I think that's where, if you want to get in, and I know we're going to discuss this, if you want to get into trying to get another player coming back that can help you in other areas, that's where I think you use the Ellis piece, if you're going to use that.
So if you're David Poile, I'm going to put you in the shoes of David Poile.
Okay.
You're calling up Ron Francis trying to get him to take Matt Duchene's contract.
Okay.
What are you willing to part with to make that happen?
So we did this exercise a couple weeks ago on Darren Donovan Chase. I will stick to my answer. And you have to understand, to get rid of one of those contracts, it's going to hurt. It's not going to taste good. You're not going to feel great about
it. Just like the Kyle Turris buyout hurts.
Right. But it helps you in the long run if you're able to do it. And Matt Duchene was the one that I said they needed to try and do, even though there's more time left on the deal. So it's going to take more. I call it Ron Francis. I say, hey, Ron, I'm going to give you the second that I just got for Arvidsson, and I'm going to give you Fabbro.
You were willing to go Fabbro in a second?
Yep.
Mm.
Told you. Not going to taste good.
The feeling that I just expressed is that ripping of a Band-Aid.
And that's what it is, and there's going to be a scar. But the thing is, you're in this mess. And I was pro Matt Duchene when they signed him, just like a lot of people were, and it just hadn't worked. For whatever reason, it hadn't worked. And I think Matt Duchene's a great guy, community guy. I think he's a good player. It's just not fitting with the system or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, and David Poile knows this better than anybody, you know, he's been around so long that you have to, there are times where you have to go, I tried, it didn't work.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that John Hines and Matt Duchene aren't on, you know.
They're not on the same
page. They're not on the same page.
Yeah.
Let's put it at that.
And so I think Fabbro, the book is not written on Fabbro. But I also think there are maybe some concerns there that mm-hmm. he's not going to be this top four defenseman like everybody thinks he is. He may be a third pair defenseman, and that's what he is. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that. That just, he may not be as good as you think. But the thing is, you don't know for 100% yet.
That's why if you have an opportunity to either part with Duchene or get something for Fabbro this offseason, I would be willing to do that.
Yeah.
Because there's still that mystery box of potential there with him, where if you wait another year or two with him and he still doesn't improve, then there's more of that sample size where NHL GMs are going to be like, well, he is what he is.
And Carrier showed you enough. You know, Carrier was probably one of the biggest surprises of the season, because here's a guy that's had a cup of coffee in the NHL. He's been an American League guy. Just, you're thinking, all right, you know, what? I guess that's what he is. He's a minor league guy. And at the time he was called up, you were in a position of, you just need a body. You mm-hmm. need somebody in the lineup. And he turned into a somebody. He went from a nobody to a somebody. And so that right there made your decision tougher, but also gave you another piece to play with. And you got Ference, that is a very young prospect that, again, you know, is kind of in the same position that Fabbro was, that played a couple of games, clearly not there yet, would probably benefit from time in the American League. But you know you have him and maybe a couple of others. I think Jeremy Davies is probably what he is.
Yeah. Probably that tweener between AHL and NHL.
Maybe a seventh D-man or something like that. But you do have other options. But like I said, it's not going to feel good to do it. But if they take that, and it's a lot to give up, but all of a sudden you have $8 million off the books, free and clear, you don't have to worry about it anymore, that changes a lot of things for this franchise going into this year and beyond.
Well, as soon as this offseason.
Yeah.
It would. Now, I did a podcast-only version of the show with Adam Vingan last week, so anyone listening, if you missed it, you can go search Preds Insiders on your favorite podcast platform and find that. And I asked Adam on that version of Preds Insiders, what percentage chance do you give Matt Duchene ending up with a Kraken? And he said 10%. He doesn't think it's all that likely that Seattle's going to end up taking whatever David Poile offers, because they have Poile over a barrel on this one, where Ron Francis does not need to add Matt Duchene to his club. He could walk away from the expansion draft taking Calle Yarncroak with 1 year left on his deal.
Yep.
If Yarncroak fits in Seattle, great. If not, and they're not contending at the deadline, they can flip him for an asset.
Sure.
Next March.
Well, and Ron Francis can counter. Like, if let's say he is entertaining the idea, like, sure, I'm cool taking one of your contracts, but I want Johansson. I don't want Duchene. I want Johansson. I think there's more upside with Johansson.
Well, I think Poile would probably be willing to go down that road if he's not protecting him. And yeah. That's the unfortunate part of these two $8 million contracts, that you've got two number one centers that you thought you were getting when you signed them to their deals, and you're supposed to be protecting players that you don't want to lose.
Right, and you're not protecting
either one of them.
I know. And the thing is, like, I still will make the case, yes, Ryan Johansson is one of the most inconsistent players that makes you want to pull your hair out. However, you get him in the playoffs, he shows up. He does. You'd like to see that consistently through the regular season. But if you're making me choose, if you're going you one or the other, I'm going Johansson all day long, because I know what he can do in the postseason, what he has done in the postseason.
What?
That was not a bad move when they made that move. When he traded Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson, it was a good move. And even when they re-signed him, it's always a risk to sign somebody that long, but you've certainly gotten more out of him than you have Duchene.
Coming up next, there was a trade today in the NHL that could have Preds fans squirming here in the not-too-distant future. We'll get to that coming up next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game National app. Welcome back in. It's Preds Insiders here on this Monday evening in Smashville. Ryan Porth, Chase McCabe here with you. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. So, Chase, there was a trade today that has been brewing here in recent days and recent weeks, where the Chicago Blackhawks have sent Duncan Keith to the Edmonton Oilers in exchange for defenseman Caleb Jones and a third-round pick. And the first question that I think any hockey fan would ask would be, how much money is Chicago retaining in this trade? And the answer is
0.0.
What is Edmonton doing here? I have no idea. I don't know why they would waste valuable cap space on Duncan Keith when they could be using it on something else that they could acquire this offseason. Again, they don't have much cap space because they're using 75% of it on McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah, and Duncan Keith is 37 years old.
Going
to be 38 in a few days. 4 days. So happy birthday, Duncan. Yeah, get traded a few days before your birthday.
You go from a vibrant city in Chicago to
Edmonton.
Edmonton, Alberta.
I don't get this either. And think about, let's take a step back for a second. The two GMs here, okay? Stan Bowman, been in Chicago a long time, and has, quite frankly, maybe as of late, the seat hadn't been hot, but it's been warm. I mean, I think...
It's been hot.
You say hot. Okay, so
it has been hot.
Right, because when you win three Stanley Cups, you can play that card for only so long, and now you're in cap jail, and so he's had to deal with that. But then you have on the other side, you have Ken Holland, who won cups with the Red Wings, did a great job with them, veteran guy. This just doesn't make sense of why they would do this move and give up a third-round pick and Caleb Jones, who is not – he is the younger brother of Seth Jones. He's not Seth Jones. Very different, but still – a developing prospect, 24 years old, to give both of those things up and not have them eat any money, it just makes no sense to me.
It's a head scratcher. Now, I teased before the break, could this trade have Preds fans squirming a little bit?
Yes, I know where you're going.
Because it's been long rumored this offseason that the Chicago Blackhawks are 100% in on Seth Jones,
yep,
who has 1 year left on his deal with the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets will likely be trading him this offseason. Be hard-pressed to see him not be traded before the start of the season. So, they acquired, as you mentioned, Seth Jones' little brother, who I don't know how much time he's really going to spend in the NHL long-term, but they have his brother in the organization.
93 games.
I'm going to bet that he doesn't play double that with Chicago. But they have him within the organization. I don't think any team acquiring Seth Jones is going to want to give up what it's going to take to get Seth Jones without a long-term commitment from Seth Jones. Like, I don't think they're going to give up the house for just 1 year.
Yeah.
Especially in Chicago's situation.
No, they're going to want to talk to him on, an extension.
That's what I'm getting at. And I don't think Chicago is going to trade for Seth Jones without that extension, given the fact that they aren't truly going to be a cup contender this year, even though they might contend for the playoffs. So if Seth Jones ends up in Chicago, this is not going to make Preds fans happy.
No.
And I can guarantee you that Preds fans will compare Seth Jones to Ryan Johansson even more if that trade happens than they do now.
Oh, no doubt.
Because he's with Chicago.
Right, no doubt. And listen, again, if you're Stan Bowman and you're able to pull that off, and that's the you get rid of Duncan Keith free and clear without having to keep any money, and then you acquire Seth Jones. I mean, that seat goes very cold at that point because your team just got better, and you still have young pieces that have been developing, and you know, Kane. Look at what Kane did this year, and you know, adding that all together, Chicago's back. Chicago's back in the fold at that point.
Well, and think if you're getting rid of old Keith, bringing in Seth Jones, you factor in what you just brought up, Jonathan Toews coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these young pieces. Kevin Lankinen.
Lankinen.
Looks like a worthy goaltender of being a starter going into next year.
Yeah, DeBrincat's been a good player.
I would, at that point, if Chicago trades for Seth Jones, I would put Chicago ahead of Nashville on the Central Division pecking order in terms of a power ranking.
Oh, yeah.
Going into next season.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt they would be.
Depending on what Nashville does for the rest of the summer or Chicago. But, I mean you put Seth Jones on that blue line.
Sure. Colorado still would be the favorite by far.
Colorado, Minnesota would probably be number two.
Yeah.
In there.
Which is still difficult to say.
Weird to think about.
But yes.
Dallas, probably number three.
Would you put Dallas three?
They had a ton of injuries this year.
I know, but
if healthy, they're number three, in my mind.
So
if healthy, they could be actually number two.
Potentially. But if Chicago gets Seth Jones, I think they're in that conversation.
For like four. Like after Colorado.
Maybe even three.
Minnesota, Dallas, then the other, like, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Chicago, in no specific order, I think would be the three teams after those top three.
See, St. Louis, to me, I think is going the wrong way. And with the Tarasenko stuff, that's a big mess. So I think St. Louis, I don't put them in the conversation. I think they're going the wrong way.
Winnipeg's in there.
Winnipeg, I think, needs to tweak a little bit.
They were better than I think a lot of people realized this year.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. The way the divisions were set up, it was very easy to pay attention to your division and not the rest of the league because things were so compact. That's a good point. But I think if Chicago got Seth Jones, I mean, that skyrockets them into a different conversation. A
little bit. Depends on what else they do. But they have this cap space now with Duncan Keith being traded. So Interesting trade today in the National Hockey League. And we know the Victor Arvidsson trade has happened, so the trade winds are a-blowing across the National Hockey League. And there are Preds fans clamoring for David Poile to make more trades. There are Preds fans out there that want to see Jack Eichel in a Preds uniform. No thanks.
No.
There are Preds fans that want to see Vladimir Tarasenko in a Preds uniform.
7.5. No thanks.
Elliot Friedman put it out in the 31 Thoughts podcast last week that they might be in on Alex Killorn if Tampa Bay is looking to move him.
That'd be interesting.
I think it'd be more interesting if they were actually, you know, one or two pieces away from winning a cup, or not winning a cup, but like getting closer to that conversation, but they're not. So, like, are you going to give up a second or third round pick for Alex Killorn when Killorn has 2 years left on his deal and they may not? There's no guarantee that they would make the playoffs in those 2 years.
Yeah. I mean,
I love Killorn. I mean, I do too.
Heart and soul player.
He's been an important factor with the Lightning in these back-to-back cup runs, but
I just don't think, like, in a perfect world, I think in a perfect world, if you get rid of one of the $8 million contracts, okay, let's just play this out for a second. You get Seattle to take Duchesne, okay?
Or somebody else.
But you get rid of one of the $8 million contracts, okay? So that helps right there. That automatically changes your offseason because you have much more money to work with. Then you got to turn to Forsberg and go, hey, what are you thinking? You've had a few weeks. I know you were upset about Victor, but we got to move on. Where are you at? All right. Do the same thing with Ekholm. You got to kind of go, hey, where are you at? In the meantime, you shop Ellis. I'll use Buffalo as an example, even though I'm against that. I'm against Eichel, but you talk to them. Maybe you talk to Calgary about Johnny Gaudreau. I know. You kind of make a face there. No Johnny Hockey for you?
He's a really fun player to watch. But, I mean, what are his playoff numbers? Here's the thing.
I'm just trying to think of guys that I think are going to, or the league is basically saying is going to be available.
Correct. And David Beauclair has made this point multiple times here in the last couple of shows that he's filled in with Robbie Stanley on Robbie and Rex Road, that David wants to get out of the business of watching the Preds get players that shrink in the playoffs in terms of their production.
And I agree with him on
Victor
that.
Victor Arvidsson was a player that saw his production go down in the playoffs. Johnny Gaudreau in his playoff career has 19 points in 30 games. Trying to do some quick Franklin High School math here.
Shout out to the Admirals.
Go Admirals. Not used to saying that. I'm not used to saying that. His points per game in the playoffs is 0.63. And his points per game in the regular season is 0.95.
Yeah. I think I would rather see them go after another forward that is more cost effective, and you're going to get guaranteed production out of, which is hard to do in any move. But, you know, that's in a perfect world. Like I said earlier, if I'm shopping Ryan Ellis, I need to know that something pretty good's coming back. And it's either a player that's helping me now, or it's picks, prospects that are going to help in the future. But that also right there, you know, is a decision that you have to make of, if you're willing to take picks and prospects, you're basically saying, we're going to take a step back. We're not going to go into the full rebuild, but we're going to take a step back. And then we're gonna take these young guys, continue this youth movement, and then come back after it in a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still think they're a group of Preds fans that's what they want to see.
I just don't know if trading for Jack Eichel is going to solve anything.
No, I don't either. I don't think it does.
I mean, I think he's a little overrated, very talented player, but I don't think he's what he's made out to be. I think he's just a little overrated.
Oh, I agree.
Vladimir Tarasenko is now a major injury concern after he's had a dozen shoulder surgeries, it sounds like.
So let me throw this at you on him. Would you essentially do, you know, swap spit here is essentially what this is, but Tarasenko for, and I don't think St. Louis would do it, but for one of the 8 million. Say that's the only way we'll take it.
No.
And there's St. Louis
doesn't need to do that.
No. But there's only 2 years left on the deal. That's the only way I would ever consider doing that.
The fact that there's only 2 years left on that deal?
But they would have to take something, you know, money back.
See, I don't think it would be that simple of a trade. St. Louis ain't going
to
do that.
Yeah, you'd probably have to give them.
You would have to send one of the $8 million contracts to Seattle or Arizona or some other place to open up the room, just like they did with Subban and Duchesne. They trade Subban to New Jersey. To open up. That opened up the cap space for them to then, a week later, sign Matt Duchesne with essentially the same amount of money.
Yeah, and I would be very disappointed if they got rid of $8 million and then they added 7.5.
I mean, Tarasenko had five straight 30-plus goal seasons with a 40-goal season in there, but he's played 34 games combined in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Seven goals in the last 2 years combined.
Now, if St. Louis ate half that contract, then okay, maybe I'll talk to you about it.
And he's going
to
turn 30 in December.
Yeah.
A shoulder injury of that magnitude is...
That they apparently have botched, according to him.
See, I just...
But I would...
I know he's a great highlight reel goal scorer. He put up good numbers in the cup run for the Blues. I don't know. There's probably going to be a team like the New York Rangers or somebody that's going to give them more than what the Preds should give. And the Rangers are on a trajectory where they are one or two pieces away from being a legitimate playoff team, where the Preds just feel like they are in flux and are closer to a rebuild than they are being a legit playoff team year after year.
Yeah. So, the thing is that David Poile and all of the other GMs have at their disposal this year is there is an expansion draft, and an expansion draft does give you another element that's usually not there to make a move. And so I think really if ever there was a time to be able to unload one of those $8 million deals, it's now because you have the expansion draft.
Coming up next, we mentioned how the Preds might be looking to sign Philip Forsberg this offseason. They could do the same for Mattias Ekholm. What should a new contract look like for Mattias Ekholm? We'll get to that coming up next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. This is Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I mentioned David Poile earlier, talking about the Arvidsson deal and Seattle essentially saying if Arvidsson's available, we're taking him. So they traded him to Los Angeles to pick some things up. Poile also said, you know, he's looking at doing some things with this team that don't expect the exact same squad to come back. What do you hear? What do you know about Nashville?
Well, I think they're going to try to extend Ekholm. I just wonder, you know, I do think that is something that is on the table that they've been working on. I still think they're going to try to extend Granlund. You know, I know they were a team that liked Killorn, so I'm wondering if they're looking at what Tampa might and might not be able to do. Other than that, nothing too big that I've heard right now. But that doesn't mean he's not working on something. It means it hasn't got me yet. I haven't gotten to it yet.
That was Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick on the most recent edition of the 31 Thoughts podcast, a great podcast that they do on Sportsnet's platform. And we always appreciate Elliot Friedman coming on with you guys on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Every Thursday at 1.
Thursdays at 1. Darren, Donick, and Chase is weekdays 10 to 2. I was about to say that. It'd be something if Elliot Friedman was on with you guys every day from 10 to 2.
I know. That'd be cool.
Y'all would be breaking a lot of news.
We would.
Ryan Porte, Chase McCabe here with you, Preds Insiders, taking you to the top of the hour. So you hear that audio from Elliot Friedman. That was the Alex Killorn drop that I had alluded to last segment. And the first thing that he mentions in that soundbite after Jeff Merrick asks, what are you hearing about the Predators, is Elliot Friedman saying, I think they're working on an extension for Matthias Ekholm. He didn't mention Forsberg, but doesn't mean nothing would happen with Forsberg this offseason. But especially after hearing that, I think if there were one of those two players to get an extension first this offseason, it's Ekholm.
Yep, I agree.
Because I think that's going to be the easier negotiation.
I agree. So I think Forsberg is going to take some time. I think Forsberg needs a little time. I think that the Predators should look at the rest of the roster, figure out what the plan is, and then address Forsberg. But Matthias Ekholm has said on these airwaves, on other platforms, I know we talked to Adam, he wants to be a Predator. He wants to be in Nashville. He wants to raise his family here. Now has two kids. And I think he would be a guy that is willing to take the hometown discount to make all that work. I don't think it's going to cost a whole lot to keep him.
What do you think about 5.5 a year?
I think 5.5 a year is perfect.
4 years, $22 million.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
He's 31 years old, and he just turned 31. I mean, he's been pretty durable.
Yeah.
In his career. I'm looking at his...
Was it this year the only time he's really missed a significant amount of time?
Yeah.
So, and he has always been one of the most underrated players, not just defensemen, but underrated players in the league.
He is someone that I like to refer to as a fabric player.
Yes.
He fits into the fabric of what this organization is and what they want to do.
He's a glue guy. Like and there are times where maybe he takes a little too far, but he's got emotion. He plays with that. Like he's got a chip on his shoulder. Those are things that you want in your locker room and on the bench. And I think that's just a valuable thing to have. And the fact that he wants to be here. And he wants to be here no matter what. Like he has, whatever the direction is, like he wants to be a part of that. And so I would do that. And then that creates, you know that he's locked up. And so you know you have Josi, you have Ekholm, you have some of those young guys we're talking about. And then, you know, if they keep Ellis, you know, I've brought this up. I'm not saying you have to trade Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis is a good player. Ryan Ellis gets probably the most chatter of Preds fans. Some people think, no, he's too valuable, you got to keep him. Some think he's trash. I mean, it's just all over the place. But there's value, and you have to look at this roster right now as what has value. And so if you can get better on the front end by sacrificing something from the back end that is not named Josi, then you have to look at that. And I think Fabro and Ellis fall into that category of being two potential pieces that could help you in other places. It's just like what the Titans did in the offseason. They had to cut some really good players to sign and trade for some really good players.
Sure. Well, they're going to have to unload some money to be able to re-sign Ekholm and Forsberg.
And Granlund. I mean, Granlund essentially, yeah, you're taking Arvidsson's contract and giving that.
Maybe. But if you're re-signing, I've said this multiple times, if you're re-signing Granlund and you don't get rid of Johansson or Duchesne, you're right back in the same boat going into next year with Duchesne on the wing with Granlund at center, or at least you would think. I mean, Granlund's best work in a Preds uniform was down the stretch when he was a center after Duchesne got hurt.
Yep. I 100% agree.
So I hear a lot of people talking about Granlund. I would probably say it's a better than 50-50 shot that they bring him back, but I don't know how much of a fan I'm going to be of it if Duchesne is still on this roster, because then you're going to find yourself in a very Kyle Turris-like situation with Matt Duchesne, where you brought him in to be a center, and if he's a center, then he's your third-line center. Mm-hmm. If he's not your third line center, then he's playing the wing and he's not a winger. You're not paying him $8 million. You don't pay $8 million to somebody to play wing and produce to the level that Matt Duchesne has produced throughout his career. You just don't.
I agree.
You pay $8 million to somebody who is going to be a difference maker at the center position. Like, Forsberg's not even going to make $8 million on his next contract.
No, nor should he. So, if you get rid of Duchesne, you're able to pull that off. However you're able to pull that off, let's say you're able to pull that off, then are you immediately Granlund?
I'm a lot more willing. And
I would trade for Killorn then.
2, maybe 3 years for Granlund.
Fine with that. 2 or 3 years is fine.
At that point, I would be more willing to listen on Killorn because you have more cap space to do that with. But at the same time, is Killorn going to make you a playoff? Is he going to get you closer to playoff hockey? Because Killorn's best production comes in the playoffs.
I mean, I think he's gonna help, and you're gonna get more out of him than you got from Victor Arvidsson the last 2 years.
Maybe.
And their contracts are pretty similar.
And he's a different player. He can help you on the power play in front of the net, and he's sturdy in front of the net instead of having to do the jump.
How many times have we been saying that get somebody that stands in front of the freaking net? You know?
We've been saying that on this show for a long time.
Long time. And every time they do it, they then let the guy leave. So,
Brian Boyle.
Yeah, Brian Boyle, Scott Hartnell. I mean, you know, or don't play Scott Hartnell against Winnipeg. Like, I still can't get over that. But, you know, those are those type things.
See, so, if they're able to re-sign Ekholm this offseason, here's what I want to see happen. I want them – here are three things I want David Poile to do. This is how we're going to close the show.
Okay.
I want David Poile to re-sign Ekholm.
Okay.
After doing that, I want him to trade Ryan Ellis, and kind of like on your sports book, you have a bet that's still live and you have that cash out option.
Yeah.
You're cashing out at a decent time instead of waiting another year or two when his value is going to depreciate.
Yep.
And then I am, whether it's Seattle or somebody else, I'm finding a taker for that Matt Duchesne contract. I just am. Even if you have to eat some of that contract.
How much would you eat? Because I've played this scenario too. I said 2. I said turn it from 8 to 6. And you're eating 2. So you're then counting 4
2
million.
2 to 3.
Yeah.
I'd go 2 to 3.
Because then you're counting 4 to 5 million in dead cap against your cap every year. Which sucks because that's a player. That's a good player.
Especially in a flat cap world.
Yeah. That's a
20 goal scorer.
Yeah. That's Craig Smith, essentially, is what you've now put in dead cap. But
I just died inside a little bit.
I know.
But this is what you're gonna have to do. If you don't want Matt Duchesne's contract on the books anymore, this is what you're gonna have to do.
Yeah,
and this is what David Poile. This is the corner that he's painted himself into. So, we're going to find out a lot more here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. After all this talk over the last 2 to 3 months, we're going to find out a lot more in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think,
and perhaps sooner.
A lot of questions are going to be answered soon.
Chase McCabe of Darren Donick and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2 on ESPN 102 Fat the Game. Chaser, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
For Chase McCabe, I'm Ryan Porth. Thanks for listening to this edition of Preds Insiders. We will talk to you again next Monday at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.